in a locker room of a golf club. A cell phone on the bench rings and a man engages the hands-free speaker function and begins to talk. Everyone else in the room stops to listen. Man, hello. The woman on the other end said, honey, it's me. Are you at the club? Yes, the man says. Woman, I'm at the mall now and found a beautiful leather coat. It's only $1,000. Is it okay if I buy it? Sure, go ahead. You like it that much. A woman said, I also stopped by the Mercedes dealership and saw the new 2007 models. I really liked it. How much? $65,000. Okay, but for that price, I want it with all the options. The woman says, great. Oh, that one more thing. The house we wanted to last year is back on the market. They're asking $950,000. The man says, well, then go ahead. Give them an offer, but just offer $900,000. The woman says, okay, I'll see you later. Love you. Bye. I love you too, the man says. The man hangs up. The other men in the locker room are looking at him in astonishment. Then he smiles and asks, anyone knows whose phone this is? Some of you have heard it before. Without forgiveness, there is no future. Desmond Tutu wrote a book, an Anglican, South African, famous for his peace work, wrote a book called Without Forgiveness, There Is No Future. I have been preaching in out of Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6, we see Isaiah has an encounter with God. Remember? And then he is convicted of his sin, and God atones for his sin, and he touches his lips because he's not going to be a spokesperson for God. And then God, and he hears the voice of God, and he hears the voice saying, who shall I send? And Isaiah sent me. And then God going to say, I'm going to send you to people whose heart are hardened. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. This very Isaiah, who is now sent by God, is the one who prophesies in Isaiah 53 that a Messiah is coming who's going to carry the sins of the world. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Let's read it together in verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. That was fulfilled in Jesus almost 700 years later. Jesus in John 20, 21 says to his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending who? Aha. He's sending who? Take that long finger here and go like me. This whole process, my friends, that we're going through is not it's not about the pastor only. It's about me. I'm sending you, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. The commentaries tells me that it really is referring to the gospel. So wherever the gospel is presented, sins are forgiven. And then when they reject the gospel, it's not. I also believe that it has to do with a lifestyle of God's grace. It's not only what we preach, it's also what we preach through our life. Amen? So the question is, why is that so important? What is this forgiveness that is so powerful that that's some of the last words that Jesus gives his disciples? Gives them a message to go. Why is that so life-changing? Well, Jesus came and on this earth as the Son of God without sin. And then he went to the cross. And on the cross, they stripped him naked, shamed him, bullied him, falsely accused him. Put a crown of thorns on him when he deserved the crown of gold. And they put him on the hill Golgotha and nailed him on that cross. On that day, the wrath of God came. The wrath of God came. And I don't know if you know this, but because of our sin and selfishness, the wrath of God is coming on us. For all eternity to be separated from God is God's wrath. And on that hill, Jesus was separated from his own Father. But then he declared, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Hear me, my friends. God is a just God. God is a God of a judgment. You're destined to die once, and then judgment. And that's the bad news. Well, it's not bad news, but here comes the good news. You see, at the cross, Jesus invites us to come with our sin and shame and guilt and bitterness and hatred and put it at the cross. Because if you do, the wrath that you deserved will not come on you because it has already come on Jesus Christ. And if you do, then you go in the grave with Jesus and you die to yourself and you rise again to be with Jesus forever. But if you don't bring those sins and selfishness and self-centeredness to the cross, the law applies to you. The law applies to you. The grace of God is poured out to every person at the Calvary as Jesus has paid the price. Amen. And that's the message, my friends, that he says, now I'm sending you, because when people hear it and receive it by faith, they are forgiven. And they will for all eternity be with God. I believe that's amazing. So let me share with you where the whole concept of forgiveness starts in the Bible. It starts with Joseph. Joseph has 11 brothers, mom and dad, Jacob, Rachel, and he has a dream. He's a young man. He's probably a teenager. He hears from God that one day all his brothers are going to bow down to him and his mom and dad is going to bow down to him. He's going to be like a king. He has a revelation. And as you know the story, the brothers hate him and is jealous of him and they want to harm him. And one day they sell him as a slave and tell the dad that he died. They were cruel. They were evil. They were horrible. There was no easy way of putting this, but he was falsely accused and betrayed by his own. And he's now a slave, and he goes into Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, he excels because God is with him. And then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. He ends up in jail. And in jail, he excels in the jail because God is with him. And he had all kinds of opportunities along this road to become bitter and hateful and unforgiving. But one day, God elevates him. Because a cupbearer comes into the jail and has a dream. And he interprets the dream, and the cupbearer is released and goes into Pharaoh's house. And one day Pharaoh has a dream. And he remembers that Joseph can interpret dreams. And so they call on Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dream. And that's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of starvation, of famine. And so Pharaoh puts him in charge. Now, Jacob, Joseph's brothers and mom and dad, they're starving. There's no food. And they heard that there's food in Egypt. And so they send the brothers to get food. Now, if you're in a system of paybacks, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, you will look for every opportunity you have to get revenge. You'll use your power, your influence to get revenge. But here is an amazing thing that takes place. When Joseph meets his brothers, he does not seek revenge. He seeks forgiveness. In Genesis 50, we see how the brothers now experience that Jacob died. And they're afraid. They're afraid that the father is dead and he was the one who protected them, they thought. And they thought that Joseph for sure would come after them and kill them all. And they, in fear, bows down before Joseph and ask for mercy. And this is what Joseph says. You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. The brothers had come with a note from the father saying, Joseph, please forgive your brothers. That's the first time that word is being used in the Bible. I just want to let you show you something. You intended to harm me. When there is forgiveness, my friends, you are never covering the evil. You're not saying it didn't happen. You're not saying that it was not evil. You're not saying that what they did to him was not good. He's not covering it up. He's telling it as it is. But then he goes on to the next part. He realizes that God had a plan, and the plan is to save many people. And rather than influence the payback and killing his brothers, he extends mercy and grace because that's the nature of God. Amen? Let me just share something. This is the end of Genesis. Had Joseph done the payback thing that many cultures have, there would have been no more Bible. There would have been probably no more Jews. That would have been the end of it. It ended right there. But because he extended grace, his brothers and families and Israel were saved. Amen. Let me go fast forward into a modern day story that is very similar. And it's about South Africa. How many remember South Africa was experiencing apartheid? In 1963, 64, the white rulership in South Africa declared apartheid. Maybe even before that. I can't remember the exact team. But in 1964, Nelson Mandela was put in prison because he was an activist against the white rulership. Apartheid means that there is white only, blacks only, restaurants, buses, universities, even shops. And people who rose up against it were jailed, tortured, humiliated, shamed, and in some cases killed. Killed by the police, killed by people who supported the white regime. Nelson Mandela was thrown in jail because he was an activist against it. And he was thrown in jail for 20-some years. He was released in 1990. In the jail, he had every opportunity to be what? Bitter, angry, hateful. But he chose never to be. Finally, in 1990, he was released. In 1993, together with the president of South Africa, they set up a democracy where the blacks now were allowed to vote. and apartheid came to an end. Here is Nelson Mandela, who has been accused. He has been beaten. He worked as a slave in horrible conditions for 20-some years. Now he had power. And he had power to retaliate. But he knew something. He knew that if he retaliated, or if he even allowed retaliation, it would tear the country to pieces. There were many thousands who were waiting for the opportunity to get revenge. So he made a partnership with Desmond Tutu, an Anglican bishop. And together, they came up with something called Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And it was a restorative attempt at bringing the truth out, at the same time, bring healing. Are you with me? So this is what they did. They asked everybody who had been abused and hurt to come forth, and they went into the, often this was filmed in churches, and they shared the story. Then they asked the people, the perpetrators who had done it, to give them an opportunity to ask for forgiveness to those they had hurt and broken. And if they confessed their sins and repented, they could ask for amnesty. But if they did not repent, the law was given to them. And they got the full measure of the law. But if they asked for forgiveness and truly repented, they could apply for amnesty. 10,000 people received amnesty through this. Because they did not seek revenge, the whole country was not pulled apart. And many people were saved. Because they went in there with the gospel of grace. I've just done a few funerals. And in those funerals, there was all kinds of tensions. Tension that I didn't even know about until after. Tension because of unforgiveness. Tension because somebody that didn't speak to somebody, somebody hadn't said something, and people had just not reacted in grace. As a consequence, children and families were split apart. And they lived with the pain. Sorry, Blair, if I put you on the spot. Can I put you on the spot? Is that okay? I can do that because Blair shared a little bit the other night too. You okay? Blair's parents, Blair's dad and his brother lived next door on the farm. And they never got along. They never got along. As a consequence, the kids didn't have relationships and didn't get along. Is that right there? And many years goes by, and then the neighbor's son and sister, the sister dies just last week. So last week, where'd you go? And Blair phones me and says, can I come with you? In fact, I phoned Blair and tell him that the sister had, that Myron's sister had died. And Blair said, can I come with you to the funeral? And Blair comes with me. Nobody had called him. Nobody from the family had called him and told him. And there Blair walks in. And Marion says, I never thought you were going to be here. And he embraces Blair. All these years, there was division in the home between the families. Blair came with grace and mercy. And they received it. And the children of the lady who passed away says, Blair, let's come and see you. We want to visit you. Who are you? We didn't know much about you. You've been given a message of grace. It starts at the cross of Calvary. And when you give it, there are people being saved. There are people being healed. There are people being restored. My friends, God has given you something incredible, precious. Don't sit on it. It's for the lost world to hear it. And you might have to start with your brother or your sister. You may have to start with your mom, with your dad. But the power of forgiveness sets people free from the past. And Desmond Tutu said this, without forgiveness, there is no future. There is no future. Jesus says in Matthew 5, you say, and he talked to the religious people, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on one side, turn the other cheek. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. 43 says, you've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. God's grace is so powerful that it can change a life. God's blood is so powerful that it can set you free from your past. God's blood is so powerful it can set your family free, your children free. Jesus said, I'm sending you. For those you forgive, they'll be forgiven. And for those you do not forgive, they're not forgiven. He's giving you a message, my friends. I say to Blair, he took that message. And he didn't speak it, but he carried it out by embracing family members who was hostile. God wants us to bring that message of mercy and grace to our community of Maple Creek and our families. Amen. Are you okay? You still love me? Let's stand.